Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fourth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops show here on your WNIN 88.3. and live streaming on WNIN.org. Give us a call at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats. And joining me tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Evan, Walker, Sam, Steve, Maria, Hoosier Nation, Big Blue Nation. Happy New Year, and welcome to Season 4 of Red Blue Hoops. Can you believe it?
I can't. I was talking off air before the show started. It's moments like this when you come into the studio for the first show, you realize how fast this past year went by.
No doubt.
Had a disappointing ending to our season last year in the Elite Eight. I know you guys had a disappointing end to your season.
Yeah, we did.
In the NIT.
Yep.
But here we are. We're in the brand new studios of WNIN for the first time for Red Blue Hoops.
Down here.
This place is awesome.
It is.
It's got a lot of swag. It's a professional studio. I mean, the soundproof walls are truly soundproof.
We're on the riverfront.
What's the address here, folks?
It is 2 Main Street.
Main Street. Studio 2. We'll call it Studio 2. We're here at Studio 2, WNIN.
I love
it. So, folks in the community, if you've not been able to stop down at 2 Main Street, Evansville, Indiana, for the tour of the new studios, you need to. It's awesome.
Absolutely. It's beautiful down here.
Speaking of new, a lot of changes in the offseason. Indiana has a brand new coach.
We do.
And Kentucky has a brand new roster. So, Chad, tell us about your brand new coach.
Yeah, so Coach Miller, Archie Miller from Dayton, we talked about it last year on the last show. And I'm excited for Archie. I think he's a great coach. The season so far, I think everyone's going to say it's very up and down. Unfortunately, you've seen that.
Yeah.
We lost a couple in-state battles to Fort Wayne and Indiana State. That was not pretty. And then a game recently to Wisconsin, that wasn't pretty. But then, you know, we beat Notre Dame, and then we've had 2 wins that we'll talk about here in a minute at Minnesota and over Penn State. And we're on a 2-game winning streak in the Big Ten. So I'm excited about where we're going.
That's great. You know, at my house, talking to our intern Walker here, my wife Allison, I was hoping, I mean, this is true, I was hoping you guys won a couple of games coming into our first show, because there for a while it was looking so dreadful for your basketball team that I didn't think you'd have much, you know, spirit coming in here tonight.
You know what's funny about that? I appreciate that, Evan, but I was hoping that you would have lost 2 games in a row coming into the
show.
Well,
we came close.
I know.
We almost
did.
But again, folks, you can call us 812-426-7400 or tweet at Red Blue Hoops. And ironically, I've already gotten some hate text messaging from an Indiana fan. Clay Ewing of German American Bank sent me a little good luck text, but he says, "Go Hoosiers." So,
that's
Clay,
right.
Glad you're listening. We appreciate the support. We're going to the phone lines for our first caller of the year.
Oh, no.
And it's none other than Chad
Mama
Payton's
Kim.
Beautiful mother, Kim.
That's right.
Kim, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
How can you see me through the phone?
We have uncanny connections down here.
Hey, Maria, we're having very low headphone volume on the phone call. We'll do our best here, Kim. But, Kim, we have an outstanding issue between you and me.
Oh, no.
Is it about the dinner?
Yes, it's about the dinner. What is the holdup?
We'll just have to do. Maybe we can go out somewhere.
Yeah, we can do that.
I hear about all this home. Hold on now. Go out. That's easy. I want home cooked food.
Home cooking.
Yep.
Home cooking.
Home cooking, just like what you get at Rupp Arena when you play Kentucky.
Oh,
that was good.
Boy. Oh, that's fun. Well, I'm another year older. I finally hit that 39-year-old mark this year.
That's where I'm at, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hoosier math, they call that.
I was just wondering about Robert Johnson, how he could have such a good game, and then the next couple days later have so terrible.
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's been an issue all year for us. And Robert Johnson has been very inconsistent. To your point, he scored 28 points against Minnesota on the road, played really well. We won that game, and then the other night against Penn State, he had like 2 points at halftime, and we were really needing him to play well. And he came back and did score, I think, 8 to 10 points in the second half. But he's been really up and down. And thinking about his career at Indiana, I go back to a game last year at Louisville where he went 1 for 12 from the field, and he has not been right since. He's just not a great ball handler, and he just has not been strong with what he's doing. We needed senior leadership out of him, and he's been very inconsistent on that. So it's hard to explain. I think he knows that. I think Archie Miller is on him about that, and hopefully that'll improve for the next 10 or so games in the Big Ten.
Okay, well, you guys be safe tomorrow.
Yep, you too.
Hey, Kim, thanks for the phone call. Look forward to dinner.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
See ya. All right.
All right.
She said she was going to be the first caller, and I guess she did.
By God, she achieved her goal, starting the new year off right.
Absolutely.
So, okay, back to the new coach, Archie Miller. For those that listened to our special broadcast back in April after he was announced as head coach, I told a story from last year in Indianapolis rounds 2 and 3 of the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
Ran into Mike Pratt, former All-American UK and current color guy for UK radio, and he was part of the committee that hired John Calipari, and the Indiana job came up in a discussion, and he said that if Cal were to leave Kentucky, his first call would be Archie Miller, which I found very intriguing.
Absolutely.
And what I've noticed as an outsider observing your fan base going through the season so far, boy, I tell you what, they turned on Archie quickly. I mean, very quickly.
A few of them have. I would agree with that.
They have 100% put the performance, or lack thereof, in some of the games on him. And what I saw, again, you guys have shown a little bit more effort as of late, but some of your games, the players just unplugged completely. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if they were just saying, hey, they were Korean guys, Archie's a new guy, they weren't gelling that well or whatever.
Well, I think when you look at the personalities of Tom Crean and Archie, it is exact opposites.
Total opposites.
So that is tough to get, I guess. And it's one thing to practice for Miller, but you don't really know what you have until you get into some of these games.
Yeah.
So, and I think that it's taken a while, a little bit longer than maybe we thought, but hopefully we have something here. Just a little bit of perspective for the Hoosier fans out there. Indiana was 18-16 last year. We fired Tom Crean. We lost 2 players to the NBA draft, and we lost our leading scorer. So the expectations of where we are and where we're at, now we've won 5 of 7. I think we're in a pretty decent spot. So let's just see how we do the next few games and really this season and the recruiting class, because Archie's doing a lot of good things.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that. Having a perspective is sometimes easier said than done when you're a passionate fan or
passionate fan base
like the Hoosiers and the
Big Blue Nation.
Going back to the phone lines, we have Wayne. Wayne, welcome to Red Blue Hoops Season 4.
Evan, it's your Twitter buddy.
Hey. Yeah, what?
I saw that too.
Man, what got under your saddle last night, Wayne?
Hey, you know why? I mean, you know, hey, listen, we can fight among our people of internally about our coach, you know, but we can't let Kentucky fans do that.
Well,
that's a good point. He's had my back last night.
Well, hold on now. That had nothing to do with the fan base. That was just a picture taken of your coach during a game, and he was digging for gold per se.
You do know that was Photoshop.
Now I've heard there's a conspiracy. I was notified. I was notified today that there was a conspiracy that was Photoshop, but I had it investigated by our crack shot intern Walker Beck, and he said it's an original photograph from the TV telecast of your game. So, I mean,
not Jerry Tipton, right?
You know, we do miss Crean a lot because he provided us so much material. Because Archie's not anything like that. He's kind of boring when it comes to that.
Yeah,
he's just kind of a regular old dude. So What do you have for us tonight, Wayne?
I do actually think that most of our fan base, you know, realizes that Kentucky fans really love Tom Crean because they just loved pounding on him.
So, oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
There's no question about it.
Yeah, so, but actually, I think I've been to pretty much every home game for IU this year except for, I think it was the Youngstown State game in December. I happened to go to Mexico, so I was out, thank goodness. But I really believe that, you know, Archie, when he gets some better players, I think that we'll be a lot better.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But are you going to go to any more games this season? Because I thought I heard or read that you were done going to games this year.
I was. But,
good catch.
You know, after they did beat Minnesota and Deron Davis got hurt, I thought, you know, I can't really just die, you know, lie down on him. I need to go in there and support him a little bit. So okay.
All right.
That's good. We need you, Wayne. We need you guys pulling him in, you and Mark.
Well, you know, hey, listen, we are on a two-game streak.
Yes.
So the good thing is that this is the thing where I use that, and I've told Chad this over and over. If IU would not have got pummeled by those two in-state games, I mean, we looked horrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we'd won those two games, we would be 12-5 and 3-2 in the conference, and Hoosier Nation would be just excited.
That's exactly right. Right in the mix to make the tournament at that point. So.
So
we own those losses.
I think we'll be all right. I don't think that, you know. Hey, listen, if I use 9-9 or 10-8 with this team in the Big Ten and can just kind of finish a little strong, and then, you know, hey, bring in these recruits we got next year, I think we'll be a much better team.
I agree.
All right,
that's what I'm banking on too.
Hey, Wayne.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks for the call, dude.
Greatly appreciate the call, Wayne. I understand getting some feedback from our listeners. They're having a little bit of a difficulty hearing the callers. We'll work through those issues as the show goes along, but don't let that deter you from giving us a call at 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops. Hit the Twitter handle as well, folks. We got Walker who's taking care of those.
Speaking of Twitter, we have our first question of the season. Comes from Jonathan G. That's Jonathan Grider from Russell Springs, Kentucky.
All right.
One of my cousins down there. He's a very intelligent young man. Handsome fella, too.
All right.
His question is, why isn't Trey Young or Tremont Waters wearing the blue and white this year? Two guys that seem to be Cal Perry-type players. Great question by Jonathan G. down in Russell Springs, Kentucky. I think I've got a concise answer for both those players. Trey Young was heavily recruited by Cal Perry, had a great relationship with Trey. Cal Perry laid out the blueprint about how he saw using Trey on this year's team, and it was not going to be you'd get to take every shot type of deal.
Yeah.
And they, I guess, went different ways, and I saw Trey recently tweet Cal in a very friendly manner after Cal Perry came on to the media 2 weeks ago and said that Trey has been better than he thought he would be at this point in time as a college player.
Yeah.
So then we picked up Quad A Green. Then after Quad A Green had committed to UK, Tremont Waters left his commitment from Georgetown after John Thompson III was fired.
Yes, he was.
So he reopened his recruitment. So our shelf was already full. We had Quad A Green and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And quite honestly, at this point, I would not trade Shai for Alexander. I know some people are going to question that because Tremont Waters is putting up bigger numbers, but his volume is a lot higher. But Alexander's a huge player for our team because
efficient.
He does so many things.
Yeah, great defense too, right?
And he's improving he's improving by the week. As an example, he was not on the NBA draft boards a month ago, and here recently on some of them, he's entered into the late second round, which I hope he sticks around.
You're right.
But he may not. He's blowing up.
Right.
So, speaking of that, we mentioned at the opening of the show that IU had a new coach. Kentucky has completely a new roster.
Yeah.
Which I know is kind of like a broken record under Cal Perry, but this is a little bit different. We lost like 93% of our production from last year's team, and we have the youngest team in history during the KenPom era.
No kidding.
Yeah. We have 6 freshmen leading our team in scoring. After that, we have two sophomores, one of which didn't play. So we have one returning player that averaged, what, Wenyan Gabriel averaged like 6 points or 4 points. I think it was 4 points last year. I mean, it's effectively a brand new team.
What about Brad Calipari, though?
I mean, he's pretty good. It's the coach's son. we've had a rash of injuries here recently. We had four kids in street clothes the other night at Tennessee.
I saw that.
No, at home against A&M. I'm sorry. At home against A&M, we had four kids in street clothes, and Brad Calipari had to play in the first half. I'm not a big fan of Brad playing.
You said that was the biggest recruit that Kentucky ever signed last year.
It was because it kept Cal here, That didn't mean I want to see him playing.
I had the same issue with Freddie McSwain for Indiana.
So, as Kentucky fans, we've had a long history of coaches' sons playing and being kind of an issue with the fan base. Well, before Saul, you had Sean Sutton.
At UK.
That cost us some huge point guard recruits. Huge recruits.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And Sean was a miserable person to watch play college basketball. He dribbled with his back to the basket more than any player in college history. Then after that, we had the Saul Smith era.
Yeah.
That also cost us some big recruits.
Yeah.
Now, Saul, to his credit, he put it all out there. But the bottom line for me, the way I see it, would that player have a scholarship at UK if the dad was not the coach? Absolutely not.
No question. Yeah.
Saul Smith was more of a Missouri Valley type player, in my opinion. And same with Brad. I mean, Brad, of those three, he's the worst of the three, Brad Calipari.
Yeah.
He works hard and all that stuff, but he shouldn't be playing for Kentucky. But anyway, tell you what, folks, time's flying by. We're approaching our first break here a little bit, but we'll keep on rolling. But back to Kentucky's young roster, it's been a struggle. But here we are. We're 13-3. We've lost two neutral games to Kansas and UCLA. We lost a road game in conference to Tennessee. And in that particular game, we had, again, two kids in street clothes. Our best player that night, P.J. Washington, went out with cramps. And then shortly thereafter, Wenyan Gabriel fouled out, and the rest of our young guys just folded up and hit in a hole. They just gave up.
Because you guys were up by 7 points or 9 points at halftime, weren't you?
Exactly.
It's a big swing because you lost by 11, I think.
Yep, lost by 11, and we were playing very solid first half. And after P.J. went out and Wenyan went out, it was over. And, you know, I didn't get upset. I think we're going to be about 500 on the road this year. But, hey, folks, tell you what, we're going to go to break. Give us a call, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
We'll be right back. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union.
All right, folks, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops, Season 4 here on WNIN 88.3, live streaming, WNIN.org. The music this year is provided by Chad and the Archie Pickers.
That was me. Yeah, you got it.
Now, for those listeners that don't realize what's going on, but there was a photograph posted on Twitter this week of Coach Archie Miller doing something during a game.
It was photoshopped. This came from not Jerry Tipton. I mean,
I think someone else posted it beforehand. It looked real to me. We'll discuss it off air. But anyway, folks, give us a call, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
Right before break, we're talking about Kentucky's young roster and touching on a couple of recent games. Again, we're 13-3, went on the road last weekend, lost at Tennessee, came back to the comfortable confines of Rupp Arena and took on a really tough Texas A&M team.
Desperate
now,
Texas A&M team as well.
That's right. If you're an uneducated fan, look at their record, you're saying, hold on now, they're 0-4 in conference. Very misleading. They were ranked number 5 about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Got to number 2, intern Walker says. Well, what do you think, Walker? What were they?
They were 5 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Oh, number five 2 weeks ago. Keep us in line, buddy. Thank you.
So they haven't won a game since they went up to number five.
So they were, they lost four players to a variety of things, injuries and whatever. The game in Rupp this week, they were near back to a full strength roster. And like you said, desperate.
Yeah.
When I saw A&M player this year, I didn't think Kentucky would beat them either at Rupp or at A&M. I think based on their experience, their size, their guard play, they've got some tall kids that can play in the
yep.
wing. I thought that was a terrible matchup for our young, skinny boys. Huge win for Kentucky. Kentucky was up at half. They started the second half verbatim the same they started at Tennessee. Turnovers, bad decisions. A&M got the momentum, came back, took the lead. We're down like four with 4 minutes to go. But we went to a zone, and our young guys figured out a way to win.
I saw the end of that. I actually thought football ended on Monday night with the national title, but Winion Gabriel had a pass interference underneath the bucket. But as bad as officiating is right now, they didn't call it.
I know.
So
yeah, it was interesting. The last 52 seconds of that game was not pretty by Kentucky
right.
at all. Two turnovers and I think three or four missed free throws. But I want to clear the air with some of our Big Blue Nation fans out there that were – highly critical of Kyle Perry not calling timeout when Shea got trapped across the midcourt line there. Well, under the current rules of NCAA basketball, folks, the coach cannot call timeout then, okay? It has to be an on-the-court
yep.
player.
Yep.
So, again, Twitter lit up. Why didn't Kyle Perry call timeout? Well, guess what? He can't call timeout. Now, again, that's a learning opportunity for our young guys. They did not handle it correctly, but I think – they've already shown the ability. They can learn from their mistakes and get better. Again, for me, even though A&M was winless in the conference, still a huge win for Kentucky at this point in the season.
Great win there. And then like I think I told you this earlier at lunch, I watched them play at LSU, and I'll give them credit. They closed LSU out in a tough environment against a pretty good team.
Yes.
So that was a good road win.
Good road win. I'm getting a lot of texts from friends that aren't satisfied. You see a lot of chatter on Twitter that people are getting one-and-done fatigue as Kentucky fans.
That's a joke.
And let me just tell you, folks, if you're that poor at history, just go back to Tubby Smith and his terrible recruiting. Or let's go to Billy G and his era at Kentucky. Would you trade Cal Perry for any of that at this point in time? Absolutely not. Cal Perry has accounted for nearly 25% of Kentucky's all-time appearances in the Final Four in a short time of 8 years. You need to get a little reality check, get a little bit of a better perspective, let the young guns grow up a little bit, let Cal Perry do his job, everything will take care of itself.
Just a reminder that those one-and-done players are the best players in the country. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I would rather have those guys
exactly.
than other ones.
And we were talking off the air about, you know, Zion Williamson kid. He's a current YouTube megastar, big-time recruit. And guess who's leading for him? Clemson, who's coached by an Evansville native.
That's right.
And some of the people here in Evansville said, oh, that coach at Clemson, he does things the right way. He has the four-year players. Guess what, folks? He's going after the biggest one-and-done player in next year's class. All of you guys that criticize one-and-done, you're hypocrites.
Yeah.
Every one of you guys are hypocrites. Okay, going back to the lines, we've got Lance Beck from Atlanta. Lance, go ahead. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Yeah, I got to tell you a couple things. First of all, Calipari has stated very clearly he's going to recruit the best of the best.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he does every year. If people don't like it, they can go cheer for Murray State or Eastern.
There you
that's
go.
True.
Great programs, but or Center College for that matter.
Go Colonels, baby. Go Colonels.
So, yeah, but I want to call and let everybody know how widespread Kentucky and Indiana basketball is around the country. I've got a son, your nephew, plays high school basketball, and his assistant basketball coach is from Marion, Indiana. And he played at Marion, Indiana.
Okay.
Against the rival high school across town from Marion. And he played in the state tournament against James Blackman.
Yep.
And everybody knows who James Blackman is.
Absolutely.
Well,
not.
It turns out James Blackman's nephew is on my son's basketball team, which is coached by the guy from Marion.
Unreal.
I mean, so every time I go into the gym, I've got Kentucky fans and Indiana fans right there in my grill.
That's awesome.
That's crazy. In Atlanta.
In Atlanta, Georgia.
How's Lance Jr. doing this season so far?
He's He's doing fine. He likes to shoot the three.
That's good.
Kind of reminds me of Jeff Brasso a little bit.
Oh.
For some of the people that are there old.
He's a nice player at UK, right?
Oh, yeah. Gritty and can stroke the three.
I remember him.
Yeah.
But going back to Zion, is there any chance that we pull the Kevin Knox and pull that guy in-house?
Oh, yeah, I think so, absolutely. I mean, I can tell you this, 100% verified, Kentucky's coaching staff has not given up. They think they still got a good chance at landing him. He's going to announce on the 20th of this month, which coincidentally is Kentucky hosting Florida, and coincidentally he's going to announce on ESPN and are having College Game Day at Rupp Arena that day. So, I don't know, it kind of sets the stage. You would think that either he's going to troll UK, all-time troll move by going to Clemson, or he's going to pick UK on ESPN.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why Clemson? It's like Romeo to Vanderbilt. Doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense at all.
No.
But what else you have for Lance? Anything else?
That's it. Keep up the good work, guys, and looking forward to hearing you guys next week.
Awesome. Right. Thanks Happy for the call. Year, Appreciate Lance. It. Listeners, you can give us a call at 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
Are we going back to the hotline, Burger? Is this Wayne? Like Wayne again?
Yeah.
Wayne. Okay, hold on now, Wayne. We got to start talking. We have a call limit per season. It's 10. So you've already burned 20% of your calls.
Hey, no problem.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Wayne.
I'm actually going to talk Kentucky a little bit because you made that mention about Calipari and the one and done.
Yeah.
I mean, the Kentucky fans would have to be out of their mind.
Yeah.
to say, hey, let's go back to where we were at.
No kidding.
Absolutely, you're right.
No kidding.
And, you know, the interesting thing is I'm reading this book, you know, about coaching after Bob Knight. And it's really interesting. One of the things is, that Indiana fans, and I really put Kentucky as well in this category, is the fact that they're a very intelligent fan base. And, you know, but they're passionate. And that's the thing is that, you know, everybody wants to win. Well, Indiana, if you tell Indiana, hey, we can get one and done and start bringing in two and three players a year and still have and win every year, they're going to take it.
Absolutely.
Oh, no question about it.
Absolutely.
You know, so when fan base says that, it's people is probably really not very knowledgeable.
No, I agree with you 100%. I can't disagree with anything you just said, Wayne. Appreciate it.
Thought I'd add that in there. So, hey, I burned up my two limits tonight. So
it's all right, man. See you, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne, for calling in, man. Talk to you soon.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah, both fan bases. I've been following you guys. You know, I've watched a lot of your games to prepare for the show, and just to be blunt, some of the games have been absolutely horrible to watch because the basketball quality has been so bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, just it is what it is, right? But it has been better lately. But following your fan base on Twitter, man, it's been pretty rough. Again, you know, a lot of fans getting after Newkirk and Johnson, and a lot of fans don't like the McRoberts kid at all. You know, I've got a coworker too, IU fan, that just cannot stand McRoberts.
Well, I said that last year, but I'm completely did a 180 on that. He's exactly what this team needs.
I mean, I think you hit it perfectly in the first segment about you guys were 18-16 last year.
Yep.
And lost your three best players.
Yep.
And coming with a new, I mean, you are what you are.
And we're 10-7. Yeah. It's not like we're
now you've had some really bad moments.
There has been.
I mean, really bad moments. But
The range has been very up and down. No question.
You know, a self assessment of myself. I guess that's saying the same thing twice.
That's
but anyway,
okay.
I used to not be this calm when we lost, but I've learned to deal with it a lot better and keep things in clear perspective about what we're doing here. This is all entertainment value more than anything. It's not putting food on the table.
Well, think about just the landscape of college basketball as a whole. Everybody's getting beat. Texas A&M, number 5 2 weeks ago, they've lost their 0-4 in the conference.
Yeah. Well, Michigan State got rolled by
Ohio State. Almost got beat by Rutgers last night at home.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Was that a overtime? Yeah.
Yeah, close
We're
game.
Going back to the hotline, I understand, down here at Studio 2. Zach from Evansville. Zach, go ahead.
Chad and Evan, how are we doing tonight?
What's up?
Oh, this is Zach.
It is.
Okay, I'm impressed.
I told you I might call.
I like it.
You get some bonus points, man, for calling in. I thought you were going to be too shy to do it.
No, I was just getting ready to compliment you on not dogging Indiana too much this year, and then you started hitting our fans on beating our players up.
Well, no, I'm not dogging. I'm just reading what your fans tweet. I'm just being a reporter.
Fake news.
Hey,
fake news.
Those are your fans hitting the keys on the iPhones, not me.
That's true.
I'm just reading them. So go ahead,
Chad. I've been working on Evan. I'm going to have him rooting for Indiana before it's all said and done.
I like it. We'll take it.
Ain't happening.
I got one stat and then one question for you, Chad.
All right.
Top 20 KenPom victories for Kentucky and Indiana this year. Who's got one and who doesn't?
I say Indiana has one.
Indiana Kentucky has one does. For sure.
You guys maybe beat Penn State.
Notre Dame, 14.
You're right. Notre Dame, 19th, and A&M, 21st. Those are two best wins so far this season.
Well, that's interesting. That's a good data point.
That's a great point. That Notre Dame game was a huge win for you guys, but let's just keep things in perspective as well. Your non-conference strength of schedule is 253rd. And Kentucky is 84th. So let's keep things in perspective here.
Maybe I need to dig into where that comes from, because Indiana's played some pretty good teams.
Let's go to overall strength of schedule, including your Big Ten play, is 64th and Kentucky's 18th.
Okay.
So it's like comparing a big school to a mid-major. You guys are nothing more than a mid-major.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just telling you, you are. I mean, you're past 30 years, it's mid-major-esque. Please argue that.
I'm not going to argue that.
I mean, Butler's been better. Wichita State's been better.
Yeah.
What else you got for Zach?
One question for Chad.
The worm will turn. Yes, sir.
It's been a rough start under our season. New players.
Yep.
Some existing players that didn't get a lot of PT last year, trying to figure out the system. What kind of scenario, finishing out the rest of the season, gets Indiana into the tournament, Chad? Is it realistic at all in any regard? And if so, what big team do we have to beat to get up there and be a bubble team and get in here with a couple wins in the tournament or something like that, the Big Ten tournament?
Absolutely.
That's a great question. And real quick, one second. For all of our listeners that call in, when you call, please turn down your radio during the call. But go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, Zach, great question. And Indiana is definitely in the mix with the way the season's going across the board. Now, with that being said, what I think they need to do the rest of the way, there's, I guess, 13 more Big Ten games. They're 3-2. If they could get 9 more wins and be 12-6 in the conference, and then on top of that, beat Michigan State at home or Purdue at home, that would be a huge quality win. And those games, along with the Notre Dame win that you were referencing and Penn State and at Minnesota, there's enough quality wins there that could get them in the mix. I think a 19-11, a 20-10 final, and a win over Michigan State or Purdue will put us right there in the mix to get a bid, and that would be huge for us. It's not over yet.
I agree 100%. That's exactly what I was thinking. One home win over Purdue or Michigan State, I think we can get there as long as we don't lose too many bunnies.
That's exactly right. And that's the scary part because we're so up and down. But you never know. We might 2-game winning streak now. We're playing a little bit better.
Right.
Anything else, Zach?
That's all I've got, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Good job, buddy. See you, man.
See you, Zach.
See you, guys.
All right, man. The phone lines lit up that segment.
That was good
stuff.
Yeah,
Atlanta and Evansville and all sorts of stuff. We're approaching our next break here. And before we do that, we have a special announcement. Be the first time in show history.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I'm excited about this.
Listeners, this is going to be a huge opportunity for you to become more involved in this radio show. We will be having our first live remote at Bar Louie, which is on the east side of Evansville, off the Lloyd Expressway in the Lloyd Office Park, February the 22nd. Again, live remote. We want all the Indiana and Kentucky fans to come and join in and have some good camaraderie, some good ribbing, but keep everything clean.
That's right.
But it should be a lot of fun. And
I want to see a sea of red and a sea of blue. Yeah. How fun would that be?
Again, live remote, Bar Louie, February 22nd. We'll be live and under the lights.
Put it in your calendar, folks.
So, folks, I tell you what, show's flying by. Our first show at Studio 2 down here on
2 Main Street.
Yeah, and getting ready to go to break. Be right back. We're at Red Blue Hoops.
Go Hoosiers.
Go Big Blue.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN. The last warm moment.
Prepping for this winter storm.
That's right.
Man.
Yeah, I tell you what, though. They overblow all this stuff. I mean, come on, folks. They're calling for maybe 3 inches of snow. A little bit of ice.
It's the only job where you can be wrong most of the time and be pretty safe, right?
Folks, phone lines are open. You can give us a call, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops. Walker is ready, too.
We have some questions here. Allison Beck, my lovely wife, why do you think the Cats have come out in the second half with low energy? Oh, man, that's a good question. That's, two games in a row? I mean, like a replay, Tennessee and A&M, the exact same style of play in regard to their decision-making was poor, turnovers, questionable shot selection. It's weird how they've done it exactly the same two games. I don't have the answer for it, but I know someone that's thinking about it a lot. That's Coach Cal. You know, he's had an interesting season. His bell cow is defense. Everyone always thinks he's about dribble drive, whatever. But his bell cow and his entire career has been defense.
Yep.
Boy, this year's team, man, there's times where they are just like Swiss cheese. I mean, totally lost. Kind of like, do you remember, guys, you played Duke a couple years ago when they shredded your all's defense up real bad and your players didn't know where they were, but you turned your season around right after that?
We did. That's when Blackman got hurt and all
UK's
that.
UK's defense has looked that way at times this year, that bad. But with all that being said, going through the season, our current defensive efficiency ratio on KenPom is 23. So we're climbing the charts. They're getting a little bit better. Late against A&M their night, their defense won the game for them. So there's hope. But great question. Appreciate the Twitter feed back there.
Yeah.
Chad, this is, I think, is for you. This is from Brian Myrick. So
okay.
The folks from the Woodward Commercial Realty team are getting in on this show tonight.
I love it. Yeah.
Do you think Justin Smith could be the difference maker down the stretch and next few seasons?
Absolutely. Brian, great question. I've said that all year. He played early in the year, a couple of games, double figures. He's athletic. His body is a Big Ten body right now. And for some reason, he got in Archie's doghouse about some things, and he just didn't play. And I was concerned that if he didn't get to play much more, he's a guy that might transfer at the end of the year because he was on the cusp of being a five-star player. He was that best recruit out of that class. So you put him in with Davis out now. He got the start at Minnesota, and he won that game for Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
20 definitely. Points, three yeah. boards.
Huge.
Hit some shots late. Hit the game-winning shot. Actually, it was funny. You'll appreciate this, Evan. Dad and I were watching a game at Buffalo Wild Wings. It was 70-68. Minnesota was winning, and I threw out that stat to a couple guys at the bar. I said, first one to 71 wins games. What's the percentage?
71, it's extremely high, so over 90%.
90%. So I said, man, Archie needs to call a timeout and just tell him to take a three-pointer because if they hit it, we're going to win this game. And it didn't matter. Smith stepped up and hit a three anyway, first one to 71, and we kicked that off. So with Smith, he's going to have to play well the rest of the year, and he's going to get his chance. And with Davis out and Smith in, the offense moves quicker. It's more efficient. It flows better. And Smith can do things. He can take people off the dribble. He can shoot. So, absolutely, he's going to be a key cog down the stretch for the Hoosiers.
Great question.
Yeah.
Yep. Phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
A lot of good interaction tonight with our fans. Back to UK's roster. Again, it's very young. It's obviously, you've heard that a lot tonight, but also a lot of injuries. It's time for an injury report. You just mentioned Davis is out for the season, unfortunately, for IU.
Yeah, Davis had an Achilles injury, and I think I was telling you this at lunch earlier. Dan Dockage was pounding him in the Wisconsin game about limping around in practice, and then, like, nobody cared. And the next day, he's out for the year with an Achilles injury. So he's been laboring, I think, for a couple of weeks. And then Colin Hartman hurt his shoulder. He's playing through it. He's not shooting the ball well, so I think it is affecting him a little bit from a shot standpoint, but that dude plays hard. He's a good
player.
Colin
Hartman, that's my dear friend Sophie Gray's favorite player. I think a little bit of a crush going on with Colin. Yeah, he seems like a nice young man.
He is.
Good person to look
good
up
dude.
To.
Yep.
UK has had tremendous injuries this year, folks. Jamal Baker has yet to suit up. He's recovering from knee surgery. is actually a lingering knee injury from high school that once they got to UK and got underneath some better medical care, they figured that it was time to give it surgery and rehab it. He was our three-point specialist going into the season, so we've missed that component. And then Jared Vanderbilt, one of our very top recruits. In fact, he was ranked, I think, our second-best recruit behind Kevin Knox. And he's yet to suit up. Foot injury.
They're to a point with this guy right now.
Now, here's the deal with Vanderbilt. I found out that he was actually cleared to play late December, but on his own accord has not played.
Wow.
Apparently, there's a little bit of a mental block with confidence coming back with this injury. But he did suit up, went through a full contact practice the other day, and Cal Perry said it was a game changer in the practice. Kid was the best player.
Yep.
Now, okay, so after the Tennessee game, we get a kid and hurt during the game, P.J. Washington, who's been really playing well for us lately, and then Gabriel fouled out that I mentioned earlier. It sounds like, from what they're talking about, like on Kentucky Sports Radio, that Cal had the infamous man-to-man meeting with Vanderbilt saying, okay, it's time to time to fish or cut bait. So sounds like Vanderbilt's going to be suiting up pretty soon. Now, how will he gel with the team?
Right.
But there's no question he brings an element to our squad that we're missing a little bit right now, and obviously a lot more diversity. He can handle the ball really well for a big man. He's physical. He can play inside, outside. He can take it end-to-end easily on his own. So as a Big Blue Nation fan base, we're hoping that he comes back and can play for us. Then in addition to that, Quade Green, our point guard, is out with a strained back. He missed the A&M game. And then a backup power forward, Ty Winyard, is out with a strained back. So we're thin. I mean, we're down to the other night we had, seven scholarship players, Walker, on the bench?
Man. So,
look like a church league team out there.
Yeah, that makes it interesting, yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of injuries. That's probably one of our biggest injury reports in the four seasons we've had
on
the show.
That's a long one, yeah.
Yeah, it is. So tell me, Chad, about as we're rolling through the time here, give us a little peek about your upcoming games.
Yeah, so we play Northwestern at home Sunday, and Northwestern's coming off a nice victory last night. They beat Minnesota like a drum. I think they won by 20 points or something. But that's good because I'd rather them be coming off a win than a loss. I hate that when you catch people after a loss.
Yeah.
So, but that's going to be a very winnable game for Indiana. Playing with a lot of confidence. That game is Sunday, 3:30 on CBS. So I will predict a Hoosier victory there. That would put Indiana at 11-7, 4-2 in the conference. And then the next, I think they're off a few days and play at Michigan State. So I'll predict a Hoosier loss there. I know that. But then there's some other very winnable games coming up. Ohio State at home, I believe, and Illinois. So I think Indiana is in a situation where just continue to get better. And even the Michigan State game, that's obviously going to be a tough game. But go up there and play hard and look the part.
Well, hold on now. Michigan State's...
They're not playing that great either right now.
I think they're playing terrible.
No question.
I mean, got beat by how much by Buckeyes?
I think it ended up being 16 points.
But
it was 20-25 there for a while.
And then
Rutgers,
they struggled, and Rutgers is not good, right?
No doubt. No, they're better than they have been in the past.
All right.
But they're still Rutgers, respectful. You know, and it was still at the Breslin Center. So one point on Archie, too, I want the fans to think about, just from an X's and O's standpoint, think about last year and just the years with Crean when our offense – especially against zone defenses and even against tough man-to-mans where we just would not get good shots and things would bog down and we would get so frustrated about that. Put that in context this year. Think about the ball movement and the layups and the motion and the shots that we're getting. Now, one caveat, we're not hitting a lot of three-point shots, and that's an issue, but the shots that we are getting are wide open, and I think that's a tribute to what Archie's trying to do offensively with spacing and –
kind of devil's advocate just for a second.
Yep.
Are they open because they know you can't hit them?
Well, I it's hard to say. I mean, Devontae Green and the guys that are getting the shots historically are guys that hit shots.
Yeah, I would not leave Hartman.
Robert Johnson, coming into this year, 40% three-point shooter. So
what's he shooting this year, like 31 or something?
They're all under, sub 30.
Wow.
30. So I guess my thought on that is wait till we recruit players that can hit shots, and and maybe those shots start to fall this year with more confidence and get some wins.
One thing about Crean and the previous administration, they could teach shooting.
They did.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. I'll be interested in seeing if Archie and his staff can replicate that, because Crean could definitely do that.
It does make me wonder if they don't shoot as much. I think it has to. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's a data point you have.
Yeah, Crean, no, he proved that over his tenure in Indiana. Those boys could flat shoot the basketball. So transitioning to a little bit.
Who you guys have?
Well, a couple stats real quick before I get into UK's next game.
Yeah.
You know, last year I had the weekly segment about the 30th anniversary of Indiana's last title. We reviewed the movies and the songs, and that was a lot of fun. And I tried to come up with something creative this year, but never really grasped anything that I thought would kind of last the entire season of the show.
Right, right.
So I went more statistical route-based. So I thought to myself, what has been the common denominator for national championship teams? And so I took KenPom and looked at strictly the defensive efficiency of the national title team since KenPom was invented in 2002.
Yep.
And it's a very tight matrix. The range of the defensive ranking for the national title team has fallen between 1 and 18, with the average being 8.5. So if you look at today's positioning of that, you know, your title teams could be any one of Virginia, Cincinnati, Texas Tech, Central Florida, Miami, Florida, Texas, Michigan State, Texas A&M.
Yep.
West Virginia, who Kentucky plays soon on the road.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game.
We're going to get dusted there. Purdue.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Clemson, that we mentioned earlier. North Carolina, Louisville, Syracuse, Boise State, no way. Penn State, Gonzaga, Baylor. But anyway, we're going to be tracking that as the season goes along. And then toward the end of the season, we'll add the offensive ratio as well.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And what I figured out today is basically if you want to win the title, your team needs to be somewhere around 8 in defense and 7 in offense. That's the averages, folks. So if you want to follow your team through the season to figure out if you actually have a chance to win the title, there you go.
And be the first to 71. That'll
exactly.
help you, too.
That helps you all the time.
Yeah.
But also, you talked about how open the season's been and up and down, everybody's losing. You know, Duke, loaded. I mean, they are loaded. They've got the best recruits in Bagley and Wendell Carter, that combo right
Absolutely.
There.
Those guys are ridiculous.
And the guard. What's the young guard?
Duvall.
Yeah. And you have the All-American senior.
Grayson Allen.
Yeah, floppy tripper Gracer.
That's right. How he's, yeah, unbelievable.
With that being said, their defense is ranked 106th in the nation right now. They can't guard a Church League team.
Yeah, that has to be one of his worst defensive teams that he's had.
So to emphasize how open college basketball is, there was a record set earlier. On January the 4th, when Arizona State lost, it was the 11th top five team to lose by January 4th. That's the most in AP poll history and equals all of last season.
That's crazy. That's,
and that was before Michigan State got beat by Ohio State, all yada, yada, yada. So anyway, we're zipping by the minutes here.
You want to talk about just real quick who you got coming
up? We're coming up on the road, two more games. So, Chad, that we could be trouble, but at Vanderbilt this Saturday, Vanderbilt 6-10, 1-3 in the conference, going through a little bit of a transition year. They've got some big recruits.
As much as I hate to say it, just pound them. I don't want Vanderbilt getting any wins. So
then, back on the road next week at South Carolina. South Carolina was a Final Four team last year representing the SEC.
Yep.
10-6 record, 1-3 in the conference. Big news, they just signed Brian Bowen, the kid that was at Louisville that got paid $100,000 to play at Louisville, but didn't quite work out that way, did it, Berger?
They gave him $75,000
hey, Maria,
in South Carolina.
If Louisville offered you $100,000 to play basketball, would you accept it?
Yeah, I wouldn't be too good, though.
Post player.
Take the money and run, though.
Hey, yeah, Chad, real quick update on the Evansville Aces.
Yes, so I was at the game last Saturday. They beat Bradley, who Bradley was a pretty good team, 68-44, 24-point win there at Ford Center. And then last night, a 9-point wire-to-wire, 64-55 win over Missouri State, who was the preseason favorite to win the conference.
Wow.
UE's 12-6, and they've had a lot of injuries, people in and out of the lineup. I think Marty has built some depth from that. So I think UE's going to compete for the Valley.
What's their conference record again?
2-3.
But they lost two really close ones, right?
Three really, really close games. Ones. The first three, actually. They were 0-3, right. So 1-2 in a row now.
Awesome. Well, good luck to the Aces, and keep winning those Missouri Valley games.
Different
conference with Wichita State out of
Opens
there.
Up tremendously.
Yeah, it's awesome. Switching gears to the USI Screaming Eagles basketball team. They're currently sitting at 12-4, 3-1 in the conference. They most recently lost a road game at Drury by 10. They're in action tonight, actually, 7:30 at the Pack, and they are led by local star Alex Stein, averaging 19.2 points a game and shooting a clip of 44% from the three-point line.
And Nate Hansen, too, from Rice.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, he's a great player, too.
Typical USI, man, they're averaging 81 a game, and their scoring margin is like 10.3, so a fun team to watch. So if you guys want to see some good basketball, get out there and support the Aces and the Screaming Eagles.
Check out what USI is doing to their facility, too.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable for a Division II.
Well, congratulations to
awesome.
John Mark Hall, the athletic director
out
there. That's a Murray boy, grew up with my wife, and he's a great guy doing an excellent job. And kudos to them. And, you know, U of E continues making some progress as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Got some good stuff going on here.
I mean, think about Evansville playing the Ford Center. Not many squads that are mid-major get to play in facilities that nice. We're Chavver down to our last 50 seconds of Show 1, Season 4 at Studio 2.
Flew by again, didn't it?
Yeah. Again, folks, we really appreciate the support. A lot of interaction tonight with phone calls and tweets. And, again, we're going to be back on the air next Thursday here at Studio 2. Buckle down for this winter storm that's coming, but I think we're going to be okay. A little bit of ice, a little snow, no big deal.
And mark that date. February 22nd.
Yes, live remote. You guys can come out to Bar Louie with your red or blue, red blue hoops. Support the show. We plan to have a live mic for questions from the crowd. That could get interesting. The only rule is you don't throw anything at each other. And, you know, Wayne, I think Wayne's the guy I'm worried about.
Nah, he'll be all right.
He's a little testy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only midway through the season. He's getting a little testy. But, hey, folks, thanks for being here. We'll see you next Thursday. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Red Blue Hoops is out.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Maria Thomas. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.